Welcome to the Fresh Start Podcast, episode 16, brought to you by attorneys Gina Cho and Jeff Curl of JC Law Group, whose practice is dedicated to bankruptcy for individuals and small businesses. Thanks for joining us. I'm Matt Hayes. Please note that this podcast is not legal advice. For more information, visit jclawgroup.com. Now let's welcome Gina and Jeff to our podcast. How are you guys doing today?
Good. How are you, Matt?
I'm well. How are you doing, Jeff?
Good. Thanks, Matt.
As we continue on in our series of six building blocks to creating a healthy financial future, today we go on to number three, start an emergency fund. If you missed the first two, maximize income and decrease expenses, and also talking about paying down debt, make sure you go back and listen to those because they'll make this one understand a little bit easier as we flow through here. So make sure to go back and listen at jclawgroup.com for those. But today, like I said, we're going to talk about starting an emergency fund. Gina, why is this so important to do?
Because it creates a buffer between your life and all the unexpected things that could go wrong in your life. You know, unexpected medical bills, layoffs, your car breaks down, you need a new roof or whatever. I mean, most of us are living paycheck to paycheck, or in fact, they've already spent their future paychecks. So this is kind of doing things a little bit differently in that you're actually saving for yourself. And, you know, I'm sure we've all heard that saying, pay yourself first. And this is putting into practice that saying.
Is there a magic number people should aim for of how much they should have saved in this emergency fund?
The rule of thumb is 12 months. I don't know too many people that have 12 months of all of their expenses sitting in a checking account or savings account somewhere, but that's your goal. So you can start with 1 week of expenses, build up to two, and then build up to a month, and so on and so forth until you reach 12 months of expenses.
We should also talk about what's an emergency. To me, when you have to replace the tires on your car, that's not an emergency. That's something that you should be planning for and should be part of your expenses in life. An emergency is loss of job, divorce, or medical expenses. Like, it's unexpected. Maintenance on your car, for example, is not unexpected. That's part of life. I do think that when you start thinking about this, you have to segregate in your idea what constitutes an emergency. And if it's expected, it's not really an emergency. You're going to have to just orientate yourself in that regard as when you think about building this fund, what does that really mean?
Yes, and it's important to also note that this is your do not touch fund. This isn't, oh, I want to go out for dinner this week, so I'm going to take money out of there. This is like your sacred cow. Like, you don't touch it.
If we have a sacred cow, what do you think is the best method for starting our sacred cow fund?
I think the first thing to do is go back and look at your income and expenses and just see how much money can you afford to put away, you know, every single month. And it could be some very small amount. I mean, you may have a really tight budget. It may just be like $20 a week or $10 a week. I mean, the point is to start somewhere and to do it consistently for a long term, because that's where that magic of compounding interest happens. So the goal of having the savings account is to build up not only an emergency fund, but to start creating wealth. You can only do that by investing consistently.
I think there's just a real comforting factor to developing an emergency fund. To know at some point, you know, when you hit those benchmarks that we talked about before, 1,000, 5,000, 10,000, and to know that you have a well there of 20,000 or 50 or whatever your emergency fund is for you, really kind of lets you sleep a little better at night. We decrease our expenses, like you say, and we start setting aside. What do you think is the best way to set it aside?
Number one is to move the money out of your checking account on the day that you get paid. So if you get paid on the 15th and the 30th of each month, whatever amount you set for yourself, have that money transferred out of your primary checking account and into a savings account that's not linked to your checking account. So if you have your checking account at Bank of America, you'd want to start a savings account at another bank. I like ING and Ally. Those tend to pay a little better interest than the larger banks, and have that money transferred out so you don't see it just sitting there and you'll be tempted to use it.
Yeah, and I know the interest rates right now are just awful. I mean, they're sub 1% at this point. And I remember when my grandfather passed away, I was looking through some of his documents trying to put things together, and I saw during the inflation in the 80s, he was getting 18 to 20% on his savings accounts, just regular old savings accounts. I can't even imagine that now. The emergency fund to me is not a wealth building fund. This is not one where you're looking, you'd like to have a good percentage, but this is to be put in a safe place. It may not accrue money and interest like other types of accounts, But that's not the point either.
It's a safe place to put your money. It's not putting it into a stock market where you may lose money. It's really there for safekeeping.
I was going to ask, how liquid does this have to be? Is this something that I can go to the bank and put my ATM card in and get cash out instantly? Or is this something that if I put it somewhere where I can maybe make a little bit more percentage-wise, it may take 24 to 48 hours to access that cash?
I think it's a good idea to have it somewhere where it takes a little bit of time to get the money back, because then it'll give you a chance to think about it and say, do I really need this money? If you can't access it instantly, you can't use it on impulse. You can't go to the mall and say, oh my gosh, I found this pair of shoes that I must have. Whip out your debit card that's linked to the savings account and buy it.
But it will be there soon enough to handle whatever you need to handle. That you know that if you know your rent's due on the first, so you can anticipate transferring the money over if you need it for that, because you've been injured and you're out of work or something along those lines.
The one thing we hear a lot about as well is teaching children and teaching other family members in the family how to be fiscally responsible. Is there a way maybe to use this and help educate the kids and maybe get them involved, so that way we're staying on track and adding to our emergency day fund while maybe teaching them a little bit at the same time?
Sure. I think it's important to teach your children these lessons that we're talking about so that when they grow up, they can learn to manage their finances responsibly. So you could even have a conversation with them and say, hey, listen, we're trying to start this emergency fund so that in case something happens, the money is available. And what can you do to contribute? Maybe it's saving part of their allowance money, or raking your neighbor's yard, or doing things around the house, or putting the money that your grandma and grandpa gives and maybe spending a little bit of it, but also taking some of it and setting it aside for a rainy day.
I really like the idea of just a real basic idea of concept of earning and saving money and setting some aside and teaching that at a young age. Just, I think a lot of us just weren't taught anything financially as kids, whether through parents or through school, for whatever. I don't know if it's just because finances and debt and money are such a private subject for so many of us and a bit taboo, but I think there's lots of ways to approach it where you don't really encroach on things that you want to keep as privileged. I'm all for involving kids.
I remember when I was growing up, my father was a part owner of the company he worked at. And every 2 weeks, they would hire a lawn service to cut the grass for this company. They had a couple acres. Well, what happened was my dad hired my brother and I, my younger brother, and they had a lawnmower there. And we would both get paid $50 each week or every other week to cut the grass. The thing was, though, we weren't allowed to touch that money. That money was expense. And then my dad opened up two mutual funds, one for each of us, and that money got instantly put in there. So that was our savings job. We could cut grass and do anything else with our own clients that we built up, but that client was automatically saved. And we were not allowed to touch that money until we were 18. And after doing it for a couple of years, that money added up rather quickly, and it was a nice little thing to have when we turned 18 to have access to. There's so many little things like that you can easily do to help teach your kids and give them a real education.
That's the perfect lesson there, right? Because you got some forced savings. That's like an employer doing some forced 401k or something like that with you, and then, or a pension contribution, and then you're still free to go out and earn and do whatever you want. And you could save it, you could spend it, do whatever. I like that.
Yeah, that's a great idea. So did you feel like it kind of taught you the magic of compounding interest, because the money starts to accumulate interest and then it grows faster?
Oh, yeah, because we, especially after the whole lesson was done and as I got older and I had access to the money and I could see how much was actually there, it was nice. It was
right. A
real good lesson to be able to see and the benefits of doing that. Speaking of mutual funds and all that too, many people sometimes will consider their 401k or maybe a Roth IRA or just any sort of IRA as their emergency fund, because they're putting, you know, as Jeff mentioned, sometimes employers, you know, will match it, or sometimes you're forced to be to use it if you're an employee somewhere. Can people use that as an emergency fund, or should they not touch that?
I say no, with the exception that I know reality sometimes happens, and I'm just thinking of a client who took out a loan on their 401k to fix their roof so that the rain doesn't come in. I mean, that to me is completely legitimate. What are you going to do? You know, incur more damage and mold? You know, this is his means right now of fixing the roof, and he's doing it. You know, he went out, got a couple estimates, and he did the model where you go to the employer and figure out how much you can take out, and he's doing that. And so sometimes that's your only result, and that's just because he's at a point now where he hasn't had the opportunity to build up the emergency fund, but now that we've put him into bankruptcy, he will. And so he is going to build his emergency fund and he won't have to do it again.
And I think another thing that people can consider doing is once you have sufficient amount sitting in your savings account, you can consider taking some of that money and investing it into like a Roth IRA, because with the Roth, you can take out the principal amount without any tax consequences. So maybe it's another good vehicle for parking some of that money once you have sufficient amount saved up in your savings account.
Or another one is also putting money in an HSA that you can invest. HSA to me is almost by its nature an emergency fund. I mean, you have the daily visits and or the daily visits, hopefully not the daily visits, but you have your annual visits of whatever type. And then you may have something happen and you need to take some money out for some medical expenses. And an HSA, a lot of them nowadays will let you just pay your medical expense, but while it's sitting in there, you can invest it like mutual funds and it can build up cash too.
Right. By the way, if you don't know what an HSA is, that's a health savings account. It's a separate type of savings account you can have set up with your health care, depending how your system is set up.
It's especially with the HSA account, it's really important to invest your money in something pretty conservative so you don't wake up one morning and you've lost all of your money, because this is money that you're going to need in an emergency.
Yeah, I wouldn't get speculative and buy penny stocks
right.
with your
Keep
HSA
it safe.
Money.
You never know. And also, too, if you use an HSA as well, many times when you, as an example, if you have to wear corrective lenses for your eyes, many times if you use money from an HSA, you can actually save, spend less on contacts or prescription glasses if it's being used through an HSA compared to paying cash out of a regular checking account. There are little bits of savings you can do there, which, you know, can add up over time, especially as we get older and our bodies start falling apart. We're going to need every single penny possible.
Right.
So I think that's a great conversation about starting an emergency fund. And continuing on with that, our fourth part is talking about protecting your family, talking about insurance. And we'll get into that here in our next podcast. Gina and Jeff, thanks for your time today.
Thanks, Matt.
Thanks, Matt.
Thanks for joining us today. For more information and to listen to other episodes of our podcast, as well as to learn about our 30 favorite budget tips, go to jclawgroup.com. JC Law Group is a debt relief agency under the United States Bankruptcy Code.